have a look at God speaks. He does speak to us. And how that happens, does it happen? Do we hear from God? If he speaks, do we hear? So I'm going to tell you a little story to start with, which is a little bit mind-blowing. Last year, Mark, myself and Patrick went to Love Liverpool, which was an evangelistic event. We sort of had some teaching in the morning, then we went onto the streets in the afternoon and we prayed for people to be healed. We prayed for people to become Christians. And then at night there was sort of a gospel message and people were baptized straight away. It was very exciting. It's only 3 days. So I would encourage you to go to that. But there was a guy there called Ben Fitzgerald. You can see him on YouTube. And he's originally Australian. And he was, he's an evangelist. And he said he's come to the point in his life where he said he wants to speak about Jesus to people every day. So he looks for somebody every day that God leads him to speak about Jesus. And he was telling us that he was speaking at a great big auditorium, like a football stadium. And it was near the house of his aunt and his uncle. His aunt was a believer and his uncle was an atheist, had no belief at all. But his uncle said, because he was in the area, he would come to this auditorium and he would listen. And this guy Ben said he was aware of his uncle being in the audience, and so whatever he said he was a bit cringy, you know, thinking, oh, what's my uncle gonna think of this, and oh no, look at, you know, that Christian behaving like that, what's he gonna think of him? And so he said afterwards he went up into the stands and said, so what did you think? And his uncle's like, and went off home. And a couple of days later, his uncle phoned him and he said, I'm giving my life to God. And he was like, was it something I said? You know, he went, no, it was what God said. And he said, God said, and he said, I was driving along the road and I was fiddling with the radio and I got a station and then God spoke out of the radio. And he told me all about myself and said I had to give my life to him. So I am. And I've never heard a story quite like that. And it's not every day that you hear God speaking out of the radio. Or am I missing something? Anybody else here? No? No hands up yet. So that was that guy's story. But you know, in the Bible, God spoke out of a donkey, so he can well use a radio. But it's not how he speaks normally to us. So let's just have, yes, God speaks. Somebody said to me recently, who was a Christian, I don't think I hear God speaking like you do. And I said, oh, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I don't know. I read the Bible. I know he speaks through the Bible, but I don't get impressions and words and pictures and things like that. But God speaks in many different ways, doesn't he? So, but it's not true that he doesn't speak. He does speak. It is true. And he communicates with us. You've all heard God. If you are a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus and you're a follower, you've heard him. Because that time, why did you give your life to Jesus? What happened in that time? Can you remember? Maybe you've been brought up a Christian, so you haven't got that wow factor of, whoa, there was a day. And that's okay. Don't ever feel that, you know, oh, I haven't got a story. You have got a story. You were just in central heating before the rest of us. And this is my little analogy of, if you're in a nice, warm, cozy house, you don't feel the heat being turned up very much. But if you come out from the cold into the cozy house, you feel it, don't you? And that's what happened to me when I became a Christian. I knew nothing of God, nothing of Christian family life, anything like that. When I came into the church, when I came into God's presence, I knew it because it was coming out in the cold into the nice, warm central heating house. But if you've been brought up in that, if you've been brought up in the love of God, it isn't going to be a big change from you to say yes. But nevertheless, you do need a yes in your life. So that yes means we had a drawing, we had a pulling in God's direction, a decision we had to make. Maybe when you were baptized, why did you get baptized? Oh, everyone else was doing it. Really? Or was there something in your heart, a warming, a sense of his presence drawing you? You know, why have you come today? Oh, because my mum made me, or because if I don't, somebody will have to explain it. Or, you know, have you been drawn here? That's the voice of God. It's not an audible voice, but it is here, and it is very real. And this week, someone described to me how one of their family members was in a terrible situation, and the situation looked bleak. And they were drawn, or they had a feeling that they should pray for this person. Now, the person who was telling me wasn't a churchgoer. They said, but I had this presence of pray for that family member, pray for the family member. And in an amazing way, things were turned round. And I said, that was God. Who do you think was telling you to pray? Who would say pray? Isn't that a bit weird? That was God's voice. That was God's voice. Whatever that felt like, try and remember it. Get to know it, because that was God. And we've got some examples, haven't we? You know, John, the Gospel of John opens with the words, in the beginning was the... Come on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was... So if God is also called the Word, it wouldn't make sense if he didn't speak, or we didn't hear or communicate, because words are for communication, aren't they? So if God is the Word, you know, you can bet your bottom dollar he wants to communicate with us. Another one, John 16 verse 12, Jesus saying to his disciples, just before he's leaving, he said, I've got much more to say to you, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears. So the Spirit that's taken it to us, taking the word to us, is hearing from God. So if we're Christians, if we are alive to God, even if we're a bit dormant now and a bit sleepy, he still wants to communicate with us. Let's read from Luke 24, from verse 25, if you've got your Bibles with you. At the moment, you know, I'm trying to act on whatever I feel God is saying, even if it doesn't seem sort of okay, even if it seems a little bit odd. Not too odd, but I'm trying to act on it. I'm trying to listen. I want to hear God. And the reason I want to hear God is because I know he wants to partner with me. He wants a relationship with me, and I know there's nothing better outside a relationship with him. So I want to hear him. I also want to hear him because I know he wants to build the kingdom, and he wants to use me, because he's used all sorts of people in the past. So why not me? Why not you? Of course he does. That's all he's got on the earth, isn't it, is us. So he wants to use us to build his kingdom. And, you know, if you're standing next to somebody in a lot of need, you've got the kingdom of God within you. You've got the presence of God. And the only thing stopping God from reaching that person is you. So, you know, I've had very unfortunate experience recently where I decided not to speak to somebody because I might be embarrassed. And did I stop those people hearing God? You know, I'm not going to do that again. A few weeks ago, I'd been praying. And I was saying to the Lord, I don't feel as though I'm hearing you like I did. You know, please speak. Please make it clear to me. And then I woke up one morning and I felt, I didn't hear a voice, I felt, I had an impression, I don't know how else to describe it, of saying, go to a convent the first week of October for a retreat. And I've never been to a convent. I've never been on a retreat. So this is completely alien to me. And so I looked up and I found this one, found one quite not too far away. And I looked at my diary for the first week in October. It was really, really busy. But like I said, I'm trying to obey. And Mark said, just go, just go. So I went for 2 days and one night. And I had a great time, actually. I felt a bit guilty. I thought, it's like being on holiday, this. It's a really nice garden. And they gave you really nice food. And I had my own little room with, the, you know, tea and coffee and lovely views. I was thinking, this is great. I can see why people go on retreats. And then I was like, no, come on, concentrate. So I had some things to read. And, you know, I prayed, I walked. And so I had the first day, and that was nice. And then I went, took me knitting. You know, I had a nice time. And so the next day I got up, you know, and thinking, when I go up back, some people are going to go, so what did God say? And Lord, if you don't say something, I'll feel a fool. So because I think like that, I am worried what other people think. So I went to a wood and I had a little poodle about there, and that was nice, a walk. And I had, as I say, I had some things to read. And through those two things, what I felt I came away with is that God said, go back to your calling. Now, I became a Christian when I was 17 through the Salvation Army, as I've said lots of times. And my main calling, the main thing of the Salvation Army is evangelism. And that was always my heart. And even though now we are pastors, we pastor this church, apparently that's not what we're called, that's not our title, but that's who we are. And I still get people saying to me, so what's it like being retired? And I go, I'm not retired, I work for the church. And they go, oh yes, you do, oh I thought you were retired now. Like, no, that's our calling, this is what we do. My calling is evangelism and to see signs and wonders. Now, I haven't seen many signs and wonders, but I felt that God said, this is you. Go back to it. Go back to the thing that excited you, where me and you working together. So that is where I'm leading. That is where I'm going. And I'm not stopping. So I've said it, haven't I? So if I do, you're going to say, hey, I thought you said, and please do. Now, I've just done a call. Do you remember what Carl used to do? He used to tell you to open your Bible, and then he wouldn't read it for about 20 minutes. Do you remember that? So if you're all sitting comfortably. Now, this is a wonderful passage, and we had this at our first Wednesday last month, and it's burned within me, really. It was after the resurrection, the road to Emmaus. So two men are walking on the road to Emmaus, so it's sort of a pretty depressed. Jesus has died. They heard he was risen, but they're not sure, and they're walking together. And Jesus has been walking with them, but they didn't recognize him. And so if we start at 25, Jesus is speaking to them, and Jesus says, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Have you noticed in lots of dealings with the disciples, Jesus never told them off much, although they probably deserved it, except for lack of faith and lack of belief. He couldn't cope with that bit. And here we are. How foolish you are. I don't know where it says in the Greek, John, but maybe we'll sort of have a look at that sometimes. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the scriptures?" And then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized for them when he broke the bread. So it's recognizing him, isn't it? He's always with us, just like he was with them. He's always speaking, just like he was with them, but they didn't recognize him. Now, there's many ways that God speaks to us, and I thought, do you know what? This would be a great series because we haven't got time to go through everything. But we know he speaks through the Bible. That's why it's important to have our daily reading, isn't it? He speaks through dreams and visions, through circumstances, through other people, through words of knowledge and being open, like Emma shared with us just then. And Mark didn't have that quite right. He thought I'd been speaking to Emma, and I hadn't. It was just yesterday I thought, stories are so important. Stories help us to make sense of our lives, what's going on. Stories of other people help us to say, that can happen to me because it happened to them. These people in the Bible were ordinary people. It happened to them. It can happen to us. I've got some great books down here, which I'm going to give out later, about people who listened to God, who heard God, whose lives were changed because of what God said. They're ordinary people. But the stories are written so that we can say, if that's them, it can be us. Our circumstances might be different, but it can be us. We can still hear God. So I just want to pick out two things really today. That we hear him with our spirits. You know, we don't hear God audibly most of the time. I can't say never, can I? Because we've had a story about that. And it's a bit like, you know, in this room now, there's lots of waves going on, isn't there? And if we had a radio, which Mark said bring your radio, but you know, I can't do these practical things. And if you tune in a radio, you pick up all sorts, don't you? My car radio has accidentally turned itself onto AM. I'm a radio 2 listener. I'm FM, but I can't get it back. I don't know how to do it. So I was coming down Moss Lane the other day and I was fiddling, because all that I could get were these French channels. I could not. Anyway, finally I found Radio Merseyside. That'll do. So I was happy. But as I went down Moss Lane by all those, I think they're phone lines, it was going berserk, the radio. I had to turn it off. And it's because there's so many waves through the air that we're not seeing. So in this room at the moment, there's sports channels, there's French channels, there's music, there's pop music, there's all sorts. But we can't hear any of it because we're not tuned. But if we had a radio, we could get everything. So really, it's a bit like that with God, isn't it? He is speaking. He is. That's without doubt. And we need to tune in whatever way. And it's with our spirits, isn't it? When we're born again, when we become Christians, we're new people. And what's born is our spiritual life. As God's Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and then we have a Heavenly Father who is speaking the language of our spirit. So when people say, I had a feeling, I had an impression, you know, don't write them off. It's a spiritual language that they're trying to communicate. And get on board with that. Start saying, you know, if you feel something, say it, because what you actually need is practice. And it's what we've been trying to do. It's what we do on a Sunday morning. We're not experts. Please come and join us if you can, because it's a safe place to practice. Like Emma had with that guy, it was a safe space, wasn't it, for them to say, someone had said to them, pick something out and have a word for the person next to you. Well, if they say that, you're going to do it, aren't you? Well, you wouldn't do it without that. It's practice. So please try to practice hearing God for each other. Because do you know what? If you get a word that is like that, it means such a lot. I have a friend called Sue, and I'd really like her to come and speak sometime, because she has a prayer ministry worldwide, and she was my friend when I was 17, and I told her about Jesus, and she wasn't in that place ready to receive him, shall we say, and she wasn't very nice, but we got on great. We became really good friends. I was her bridesmaid, and we were friends for years. And when she had her first child, she became a Christian shortly after. So don't give up praying for people. And she is an amazing woman. But if ever I go to anything where she's leading, she always gets me out to the front and goes, this woman prayed for me and this. And you know, I go to things now and I think, please don't get me out again. We've done this. But there was one day, and she was at this meeting, and we were going to have to leave early. And we were sneaking out the back, and I just looked and I thought, she's on the stage with the microphone, you know, because she's a force to be reckoned with. And we were sneaking out, and it was getting late. And she went, oh, here's my friend. Come up to the front. And, you know, it was one of the, oh, dear. And sometimes it's just easier not to say, no, just get on with it. Let's get through it and let's go home. And she came out and she said to the guy who was going to be the speaker, can you come and prophesy over my friend? And I was like, no, please let me go. And he came over and he said, he said a few things, but one of the things he said, God says, I will be your blanket. Now, that wouldn't mean anything to anybody anywhere except me, is that when I have my quiet time, I go into the back room and I get my blanket every morning. And I always say to the Lord, I love this blanket. I love a blanket. Nobody would know that. And so when he said that, it meant something to me in my spirit. You know, I might go, oh, well, you You know, it was a phrase. Maybe he often uses that phrase. I could write it away. But in my heart, in my spirit, it meant something to me. I was hearing God's voice speaking to me. And maybe that would speak to lots of other people. But I know the kindness of God, that he speaks to us. So take heart, start saying, and start having a go. You know, when we have a cup of tea out there and you're sitting next to somebody and they're talking, Lord, is there a little word for them? And then when we say it in a humble way. We don't ever say, God says, because I've had that said to me and it isn't nice. But we say it in a way, I don't know if this means anything to you, but I'm getting the impression of golf and Seve Ballesteros. Did you hear that this morning? Did that mean anything to anyone? Does that mean anything to anyone? There's 15 hands at the back just gone up. You can't see them because you're all looking at me. Do you believe me? But if we say it in a humble way, it gives us a get-out clause of saying, oh, well, never mind. It doesn't matter. Nobody died. It's all right. So you pray for a word. You say what comes into your mind. Whatever happens, then you do it all again and again. And again, and we keep practicing. And as we practice more and more, that voice that we hear, we will recognize it quicker. And then we speak into other people's lives. And we practice in here, in the safe place. We practice in your small group. First Wednesday, we're doing this every first Wednesday. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. We're sharing stories. We're practicing. We're having times of worship. Don't miss it. We're practicing before the service on a Sunday. Practice in your small group. It's a safe place. And then we'll have the confidence to take it outside, which is where it's going to really make an impact. I'm going to ask the band to come in a minute, and we're just going to wait for a few minutes on God. I'm just asking you to prepare your hearts for that now. But just one other thing that I wanted to bring to you was, we hear God in the ordinary, and he knows that we are forgetful people. We are. We're very forgetful. I'm terrible at the moment, honestly. But Jesus was so clever, he factored it in. And I started this talk, and it's a long, long way back, with our 519, when Josh Woodfield gave me the envelope with £5.19 in. And straight away, I thought about loaves and fishes, about the little boy who gave his loaves and fishes, who that's all they had. And I got to thinking about that and reading it. It's the only miracle, apart from the resurrection, in all four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000 men plus the women and children. A phenomenal miracle that Jesus did. But you know what he did? He was so clever. He said, right, what's your problem? And they went, well, they all need feeding and we haven't got any food. That's the problem. Okay, stop looking at the circumstances. Look at me. Watch what I do. I'm going to take this bread and the fish. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to give it to you. You go and do it. So they saw the miracle. The disciples were the people who were giving it out. I don't know, the people who were at the right at the back, at the 5,000, did they even know a miracle was happening? Or did they just go, oh, is the bread coming round here? Take what you need. And all they were worried about was filling their tummies. But the disciples knew. They saw where it started with. And so they gave it out. So move on a little bit further now. And we go to the Last Supper. What does Jesus use? Bread and wine. Because it's really special? No, because it's ordinary. It's ordinary. He said, do this so you won't forget. You know, when we put it on, you know, do this in remembrance of me. We put these special words on it, don't we, that make it really, really special. But what he was saying was, you know what? Every time you eat bread, think of me. How often are you going to eat bread? A lot. Yeah, I know we're gluten-free now, but... But you know, bread is a very, very ordinary, cheap thing, isn't it? We even, you know, we've all know the phrase, on the bread line. You know, that came because of the poor law of something like 1834, 1837, was it? That it was measured by bread. If you couldn't afford bread, you were in poverty. It's the bread line. So bread was a very, very ordinary thing. So Jesus gave them the wine and the bread and said, you know, these are symbols, they're signs, they're to help you remember, because I know you will forget. So the bread was, you know, it's a great thing to teach your children to pray when they eat, because they are going to remember, we are going to remember God if we pray every time we eat. And what he's saying was, this is a reminder. Yes, look at you. You're going to be in these circumstances, but not saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Look to him. And every time we come to difficult circumstances, we should be trusting more. We should be looking to God more than we did last time. Because, you know, we'll always have hard and happy times, won't we? We always will. Let's zoom on a bit to our reading that we read today, the road to Emmaus, where, you know, they heard this man talking. Their hearts were burning. He was speaking to their spirit, even with, you know, sort of whatever words he was saying to them. But in the end, it says Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. He'd put something in their hearts and in their minds, and he did it with the ordinary. Look, this is bread. I'm breaking it. I'm showing you from the feeding of the 5,000, one of his early miracles. This is what I do. This is me. In the situation, I am speaking. He did it at the Last Supper. Remember my death. You know, don't forget, this is in the ordinary. So that when they get to the resurrection, they recognize him. Moving on a little bit further to the lakeside after the resurrection, when Jesus does that amazing picnic, and you know, they've all gone back to their fishing. They don't find any fish. And Jesus is on the side of the lake, and they see Jesus and say, "Who is it?" We weren't sure, but they came back, and Jesus had some fish ready for them. Asked for their fish. And then he gave them bread. And he was showing in the ordinary, he's there. See, whatever our circumstances are today, Jesus has something to say. He says, look at me, because I have the answer. Whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's keep going, or what it is. And band, could you come back, please? And we're just going to do a last song together. And while we do that, I just want you to wait on God. You know, what is that impression you're getting? If it's a numbness, because I don't know where I am at the moment, that's fine. That's fine. You know, sometimes God just holds us. And that's enough. It doesn't have to be words. So if you would like prayer, If you would like to hear God more, then I want you to come out today. I want you to start that journey of hearing him more, of having more of his Holy Spirit released in our lives. Please don't sit there going, shall I, shan't I? If you're, you know, if you've got a warmth in your heart, if there's something now, that is God speaking to you.